This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the American Monetary Association's podcast, where we explore how monetary policy impacts the real lives of real people and the action steps necessary to preserve wealth and enhance one's lifestyle.
It's my pleasure to welcome Pavel Matveev. He is the CEO of Wyrix, and we are going to talk about cryptocurrencies and payments and remittances and what is going on in the fintech space here. There's some fascinating things, fascinating new business models. We'll talk about disruption and what this means to the broader economy at large. Pavel, welcome. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you. And thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you. And you're coming to us from London. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Fantastic. What is going on in the world of payments and digital money? Sort of as a layman, I would compare your company's space to PayPal, but instead of being with dollars or whatever, you know, government central bank sponsored currency, with cryptocurrency. Maybe that's a layman's view, but just tell us a little bit about it, if you would.
Sure. You're absolutely right. There are some similarities between Wyrix and PayPal. The main similarity is that we work in the payment space. The difference, though, is that Wyrix is a blockchain or cryptocurrency platform. And what we do, we combine the benefits of cryptocurrencies with traditional card and payment infrastructure. I can explain this. So cryptocurrencies, and say Bitcoin in particular, have a few advantages. So, for instance, it's good for cross-border international payments. I can send funds to people anywhere in the world. I can send people funds to people in Africa where people don't have bank accounts, for example. And it's exactly the same time, exactly the same fee. Some of the cryptocurrencies are great for microtransactions and micropayments is an essential part of Internet of Things. And by 2020, there will be 30 billion of connected devices. So we slowly move into this era of machine-to-machine payments.
Sure.
And the thing with machine-to-machine payments, and you can't do it with traditional banking instruments on a global scale. There are some benefits, but the main problem for cryptocurrencies is that you can't use them in your everyday life. So you can't go to Starbucks and buy a cup of coffee. And this is the main problem we're actually solving in Wyrix. And we offer in one of our core technologies, cryptocurrency debit card, which is Visa card, and which allow you to use your digital asset anywhere where Visa or MasterCard is accepted. And it's more than 40 million of merchants in more than 200 countries.
Right, right. So what you're doing is bridging the gap between the crypto world and the traditional currency, whether it be the dollar or the pound or the euro or whatever, right?
That's correct.
Because people can use their crypto account but use a debit card against it to tap the money in there, right?
That's correct.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. Okay, good. So micropayments have been very interesting to me, and I think this is a whole new fascinating world. I think we're going to see the human side of it. You mentioned machine to machine, which I really want to ask you about. But on the human side of it, I think we're going to see people get paid to watch videos and, you know, these really small micropayments, paid to take actions, to click on things, etc. We have some of that now, of course. But talk to us about that side and but maybe even more importantly, the machine-to-machine payments when it applies to the Internet of Things, IoT. What do you mean there? What's going to happen?
Micropayments and microtransactions, including machine-to-machine, is growing very, very fast. But most of the companies who is working in this area, they are at POC stage, a proof of concept. There is no kind of ultimate solution for microtransaction on a global scale. So you can do certain things, but it's always limited to kind of one area or one country or maybe like Europe, for example. But cryptocurrencies has this potential to solve the issue on a global scale because there is no one government which issue cryptocurrency. Cryptocurrency is distributed. So it can be used for microtransaction, and it doesn't really matter. It might be machine-to-machine payments, or it might be payment for, let's say, as your example, when you watch YouTube video or click something. having said that, there is one big problem with cryptocurrency and microtransaction is blockchain fees.
And blockchain slowness, another huge problem.
It's another issue. Yeah, but the thing about this, blockchain hasn't been designed to be scalable. It solves different problem. So it solves, it's immutable and it's publicly available. You can't really make it scalable. Having said that, there is its technical limitation, and there is a, it's called second layer of blockchain technology. So technologies like, if we're talking about Bitcoin, is like Lightning Network, which is separate. Sometimes it's called sidechain solution. So it's another blockchain, fully automated solution, which allow you to process millions and billions payments per second, per minute. And it's actually a solution for microtransactions. And it works on a global scale. We are not there yet. There are a few implementation of such networks, but most of them are kind of POC stage, at the beta stage.
POC, what does that mean?
Proof of concept.
Okay, got it. I didn't want to confuse that with POS, like point of sale. So
I see. My prediction, later this year, probably second half of this year, we will see a production-ready solution for this kind of cryptocurrency micropayments.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So where's the machine-to-machine, though? I mean, dive into that a little deeper, if you would. Why would my IoT devices in my home be doing commerce with other websites or IoT devices? I mean, what are you, like music subscriptions on an Amazon Alexa? Or what do you mean? Tell us about that.
Oh, there are so many different type of devices. Yeah. And as I mentioned, in a few years, probably in 4 or 5 years, there will be 13 billion of connected devices. Mm-hmm. And it can be your fridge, it can be your smartphone, it can be smart parking meter, for example, which takes money automatically, or fridge, which use Alexa to order food.
Right, but that works already. I mean, I can tell Alexa to subscribe to Amazon Music, and it just goes through my account. We don't need a cryptocurrency. We don't need a Wyrix interface for that. Where do we need to make this leap, and why? What does it do for us?
You're absolutely right. So it works, but it works in some countries is one thing. And probably the example with ordering food is not that relevant because it's relatively big number.
It's local, and it's fairly local, yeah, right.
Yeah, but if you thinking about paying very, half cent or 2 cents, so if you do it with traditional instruments, the cost per transaction will be actually higher than the transaction itself,
okay.
And it doesn't really make any sense to do it with traditional banking instruments, but you can do it with crypto. Again, there might be different examples of just so many types of connected devices. So connected devices is device connected to the internet. It might be vending machines which automatically order some stuff, for example, when they're out of Coke or out of something.
Mm-hmm.
This area is developing very fast in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Why I know about this? Because Japan is a very big market for us, and we have a company in Japan. So we are London, headquartered in London, but we have offices in Tokyo and in Korea as well. So in Asia actually, since we're talking about fintech, Asia is becoming fintech center. There are a lot of innovation coming from China, from other Asian countries. So IoT connected devices and machine-to-machine payments are really developing in Japan and in China. And because cryptocurrency are now regulated in Japan, cryptocurrency plus machine-to-machine payments are getting more and more real in those countries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, interesting. So tell us more about Wyrix and then just the broader landscape on this.
Brief overview, we are a 4-year-old fintech company headquartered in London. One of the pioneers cryptocurrency market. So we were the first company who started issuing cryptocurrency debit cards. We have 1.5 million customers in 130 countries. We are everywhere. Now we have almost 150 people in company. So offices in London, Singapore, Tokyo, Seoul, office in New York. So our core technology is cryptocurrency debit cards, and the main problem we're solving is we're allowing people use digital asset. It doesn't really matter. We support all kind of cryptocurrencies, main one, Bitcoin, Ethereum, plus altcoins. So we allow you to use these cryptocurrencies in your everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
Last year was great for cryptocurrencies, right? We saw a lot of new people come into this industry, and cryptocurrency slowly and step by step moving to this mainstream adoption. And we want an easy and very convenient way to use cryptocurrency as payment. We believe crypto has great potential in payment industry, not just alternative investment instrument, as most of the people use it at the moment.
Good. Tell us what you think about the broader space. I mean, are cryptocurrencies going to make it? Is this the wave of the future, or is this a crazy speculative bubble?
I work in this industry, so I'd like to start with this. It definitely has some similarities with bubble. A lot of people compare it with dot-com bubble.
Or the tulip craze. It wasn't too far from where you are years ago. Yeah.
But technology itself, blockchain and cryptocurrency, has great potential in payment. The bubble-like situation we see at the moment, mainly caused by ICO projects and with new different tokens. This is I personally don't like about the current state of the industry. But I do believe we will pass this stage, and after that, we will see really good examples of services solving everyday life problems like sending money, receiving money, using money, different micropayments as well. I do agree with you that the situation looks like a bubble at the moment. And a lot of people complain with a bubble and dot-com bubble. But I'm very positive in the future of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology in general.
Right, right. But the currency and the technology need to be separated. If you had, you know, and maybe the currency that's going to win doesn't even exist yet, I would bet on that. I would think that the winning cryptocurrency is going to be the one that is sponsored by the governments and central banks, because they can just make all the others illegal, you know, or regulate them to death, or, you know, they can do whatever they want. They're the government, you know, and I'm talking about every government with a standing army. So which one do you think would win the game as the landscape looks now? But, you know, obviously Bitcoin was the early one, you know, but it's been improved upon, hasn't it? Who do you think is the winner today, if you had to pick one? Which horse would you bet on? Yeah.
I don't think we have a clear winner. I personally believe that cryptocurrency won't replace fiat currency. Mm-hmm. I do believe that we will, in the future, they will coexist. Mm-hmm. So USD will be probably there forever. Bitcoin probably will be there as well. I don't think we have a clear winner like Bitcoin or Bitcoin Cash or Dash, for example, which are very good for payments and for microtransactions.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe we will see several cryptocurrencies, and these cryptocurrencies, they will have different use. So some of them will be used as value storage. Another one will be used for payments or for micropayments. The third one will be used as a fuel for smart contracts.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe there are going to be several of them solving different problems.
Very interesting. Good stuff. The company can be found online, WIREX, right? Is there anything else you want to say in closing?
You're right. Company website is virexapp.com.
Uh-huh.
And as I mentioned before, a lot of people think that last year was crazy in cryptocurrency space with coming regulation, with rising price. But I do believe this year will be even bigger. We will see more and more regulation in not just in Japan, in other Asian countries.
In South Korea, for sure.
There are some regulations in South Korea, you're right. In China, there is a regulation coming in Europe. And with regulation, the trust is coming, and we see that it has positive effect on price as well. So I'm pretty sure we will see Bitcoin at 50K at some point.
Wow. So this year, you are very bullish, my friend. Whoa. So you think Bitcoin is going to go up by 500% this year from, give or take, 11,000 to 50,000? Well, are you talking in dollars or pounds?
Dollars.
Okay. So $50,000 for one Bitcoin this year. Whoa. That's going to be quite a ride.
Last year it was 1,000%. So
I know. But that, you know, the past is no guarantee of the future, of course. Hey, you might be right. Who knows? But where does Russia stand on Bitcoin or crypto in general?
I'm Russian originally. Mm-hmm. I do live in London. Yeah. But in Russia, it's a bit complicated. But the recent news is that regulation are coming for cryptocurrencies as well. And it won't be just Russia, because Russia has a lot of influence in the region. So once we see regulation in Russia, it means regulation in one form or another will be in all ex-US countries. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of news about this was announced last week. So probably in a couple of months, we will see some kind of regulation for cryptocurrencies.
Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of interesting, and I almost hate to keep repeating this because my listeners are probably sick of hearing it, but, you know, you're the guy I got to ask this question again, or pose this issue at least. You say that regulation will create more trust among users and consumers. As governments regulate cryptocurrencies, which they obviously will, they like to regulate everything. As they do that, you think that will actually increase the value and usage of cryptocurrencies. That's sort of a different view than I have. I think it'll dampen them. I think that these are competition for governments' fiat money. And hey, governments and central banks, they don't like competition. I would see that they'd have an incentive to squash the crypto world, of course, under the guise of our safety and protection, as always, whether it's true or not. But you think that it'll lead to more trust. That it's an interesting viewpoint. I can see your viewpoint, but do you want to elaborate on that a little bit?
My viewpoint is based on our experience in Japan and what we see happened in Japan after regulation. Mm-hmm. So crypto was regulated in April. But what happened in April last year, the government just said, okay, cryptocurrency exchanges has to do KYC AML. It was as simple as that. So after
KYC AML, that means know your customer, right?
Yes, know your customer and anti-money laundering.
AML, anti-money laundering. AML, got it.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Basically what it means, customers has to submit the proof of ID and proof of address. After 6 months, government introduced licenses. So if you do any cryptocurrency-related business, let's say you exchange one currency to another or crypto to fiat, you need to have a license in Japan. So why are they doing this? First of all, so there was empty gox in Japan a long time ago.
Yeah,
so
a lot of people went under and people lost money. Yeah, right.
Yes, exactly. So what government intention was, first of all, to protect people from this kind of situation. Mm-hmm. So it's one thing. What happened after regulations? After regulations, all big players, banks, mega banks, there are three main mega banks in Japan, all FX brokers. Japan historically is the biggest FX market in the world. A lot of people, housewives, trading FX. So all these companies are now either already doing or planning to do cryptocurrency business. And it means there are more liquidity in the market. It means the market is bigger. And because there are more players on the market is getting more competitive, attracting more clients. There are more services. It's not just, you know, everybody's doing exchange. Everybody's trying to do their own business, adding cryptocurrency as some kind of added value service, right? There are some companies adding cryptocurrencies as a kind of loyalty point for their system. Another one adding cryptocurrencies to the existing FX business. Other companies adding crypto to the existing remittance business and money send business. So the market became far bigger because these big companies, the banks, we have trust. So people historically, they trust big financial institutions with a lot of licenses and so on and so forth. Because these companies are now working with crypto, so people think, okay, so crypto and Bitcoin is not just for drug and ransom, right? I can actually trade it now.
it's just not for drugs and ransom, for kidnapping ransom, and
exactly.
Hey, don't forget hookers and everything and terrorism. Don't forget terrorism. Yeah, it's handy for that. Or
yeah, why I'm saying this is because press loves to associate Bitcoin with crime, mm-hmm. right? It's
of course.
Nice horror story for people.
Yeah.
So people who are not familiar with this industry, we think, okay, Bitcoin is something dirty. I'm not going to use it. It's changed after regulation in Japan. So that's why I'm saying regulation actually helped with trust, but also it expanded the market. So market became bigger. So Japan, it's in terms of Bitcoin trading, is number one at the moment, number one country. And it wasn't like this 2 years ago, for example.
Okay, that's interesting. So in terms of that license and so forth that you mentioned, who has to have that? Every user of the currency?
No, businesses which provides this kind of services. So all exchanges.
Mm-hmm.
So if business do any cryptocurrency conversion or allow people to trade crypto, to buy crypto, this business has to be regulated in Japan. Otherwise, it's not legal.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. This was an interesting view. Is there anything else you want to mention before you go?
Not really. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you very much. I wish you the best of luck. And as I always say, I'd love to be wrong about my skepticisms of the crypto world, because I would love nothing more than a decentralized currency that is not controlled by a government or a central bank. And I think that would be much more democratic than the system we have now. And we will see how it all unfolds. It's a fascinating time. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, hartmanmedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guest opinions are their own, and if you require specific legal or tax advice or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.